So, Baruch Hashem, this is the last shiur that we have, Bezrat Hashem, before of Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to try, Bezrat Hashem, to dedicate that shiur a little bit to talk about the real reason why we're all gathering in the Holy Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh in Rosh Hashanah. There is one thing that Rabbeinu said that is the most important thing that Rabbeinu said about Rosh Hashanah, and he said that we should gather Lehit Kabetz with him in the Tzion HaKadosh of Rabbeinu, in the city Uman in Rosh Hashanah. So actually the word Lehit Kabetz, it's together. And this is the reason, and this is the main purpose, to come and to be together. And this is the main thing, this is the reason why we're all going to Uman. In Uman you can see almost 40,000 people were there last year. Hopefully this year going to be over 40,000 people. Jews, all coming for one purpose, for one reason. Another one from Baltimore. Just came.
Baltimore, yeah.
Another one from Baltimore just came.
California
lost it.
Somebody told me 70,000 tickets were sold already. 7,000? Yeah, someone told me they already sold 70,000 tickets.
So, the reason that we're going to Rabbeinu is because that Rabbeinu said to come. And that everyone that listens to Rabbeinu, everyone that believes to Rabbeinu, need to listen to that advice or an obligation that Rabbeinu said everyone should come to be in the Tzion HaKadosh in Uman. And lemaise, bottom line is to come to be together, just to join with love and support each other and to give hands to the ones that are weaker and the ones that doesn't know exactly what to do to help them, the ones that even was only once. You can be a tour guide, you can be all of the, you can be guides for people that came first time. Harav Elchanan from our yeshiva, in the first time that he came to Uman, first time, Harav Shalom testified that, he said that on him. In the first time that he came, he put his luggage somewhere, and for 5 hours, the first 5 hours that he spent in Uman in his life was to carry baggages of people from the buses to the intersection, the main intersection of the city, close to the Tzion. This is how he was spending his first 5 hours. Rav Shalom said why he was doing that, because he got it, because he understood what Rabbeinu wanted from him. This is what that Rabbeinu wants us to do in Uman, that we're going to be there together, that we're going to be all of Am Yisrael together. And when you're coming there, you see Hasidim, and you see Litvaks, and you see Sfaradim, and you see Mekubalim, Kabbalistics, and you see Ashkenazim, and Sfaradim, and you see Chilonim, people with no connection to Judaism, and you see Americans, and you see French people, and from Canada, and even from Baltimore, people are coming to Uman. Thousands and thousands of people are coming, and they all have one thing in mind, to be with Rabbeinu, to be with the people, to accept Rosh Hashanah together. A few are going to the mikveh, a few are going to the Tzion to pray in the grave of Rabbi Nachman Ibrester, a few are going to do it bodedut in the field, a few are going to buy food supply and things for the holiday, a few are still looking for apartments. Everyone with one meaning, one will, to accept the Rosh Hashanah with joy, in happiness, all together. There was one of the righteous people, I think that it was Arav Kaduri that said, I'm not sure, that he said that even without all of the huge things that Rabbi Nachman Ibreslev is doing, and the people listened to him and came and listened to the voice of Chachamim, and without all of the mitzvot, just the fact that all those thousands of people, Jews, gathered in one place and keeping the holiday together, it is tearing the curtain, that the iron wall that there is between Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch. This is what it is said, that righteous man. I think that it was Arav Kadur. But it doesn't really matter. The thing that is matter is that we can have that merit to cancel ourselves in that time to the real will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to think about ourselves, not to be selfish. Like Rav Shalom said, 1 minute of prayers on General of Am Yisrael worth more than 24 hours of prayers on yourself. 1 minute is more valuable than 24 hours that you're praying on yourself. What you're praying on yourself? Hashem, I want to please you. I want to be a chassid. I want to be kosher. I don't want to sin anymore. I want to guard my eyes, not to check women and look at women. I don't know what. I just want to be like you want me to be. Those 24 hours, amazing 24 hours, are not worth the 1 minute that you're praying on another Jew, on Klal Israel. Please Hashem, let them be kosher, let them be happy. Say 60 minutes, seconds, say Hashem, let them be happy, Hashem, let them be happy. Hashem, that they will have Shalom Bayit, Hashem, let them find their mates, the Shiduchim, Hashem, let them be happy. I don't have words, Hashem. I'm sorry. Please, Hashem, let them be happy. Let them be satisfied from Avodat Hashem. Just like that. That 1 minute worth more than 24 hours of fire, of Kedusha, that you're davening to break all of your bad midot and to surrender yourself to Hashem Yitbarach. I don't know what. This is the main will of all of righteous people in all of the generations. That Am Yisrael gonna be united. That Am Yisrael gonna love each other. Rabbeinu said the world gonna be amazed from the love. Where he is from?
Baltimore.
Another guy. Akiva, his name is?
New York.
Ah, lost.
The Big Apple.
So,
the Big Apple.
New York. Also good.
I live on Baltimore Avenue in another city.
Baltimore Avenue we have, but from another city. So, Lemaise, what does Rabbeinu want from us in the eve of Rosh Hashanah and in Rosh Hashanah? First of all, beyond all, to be there for Klal Israel. This is your job. You're asking what Rabbeinu wants from me, what Hashem wants from me, to be there for Klal Israel. What can I do for someone else? This is the reason, this is why you came. To be there for someone else. If now you found an amazing spot to pray in Uman, in Rosh Hashanah, and it's an amazing spot and someone is pushing you, the better thing, the best thing that you can do is to move to the side and to give him that wonderful spot. And your prayer, even if it won't be even close to what that you could achieve in a comfortable place, not even close, from huge distance, it's going to be bigger and more important. Because Rabbeinu said, Ken tochal, lo tochal. Ken tipalel, lo tipalel. Ken tishan, lo tishan. Haikar, shetietz le'el Rosh Hashanah. If you're going to eat, if you're not going to eat, we know how much it's important, all of the simanim that you have in Rosh Hashanah. And people are very medakdekim in all of those simanim of Rosh Hashanah. To stay them with the right intentions, to uproot all of the enemies, and that they're all going to die, all going to disappear. All of those simanim are very important in Rosh Hashanah. Righteous people, Talmidei Chachamim, they have a huge job in that. If you're going to have it, if you're not going to have it, come to Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu is saying. If you're going to sleep, if you're not going to sleep, how can a person pray without have a decent sleep, a decent bed? In Uman, it's very hard to find a decent bed. It's a known thing. It's very hard. You need to have miracles that you're going to have a decent bed. Renting houses. But when you're together, if you're sleeping, if you're not sleeping, the main thing is that you're going to come. Come and join. Come and join that wonderful group. You're going to pray. You're not going to pray, Rabbeinu said. Even if you're not going to pray, of course that ideally you should put all of your powers in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. This is the best thing of them all. But if in the end you found yourself waking up at 12, looking for the last minyan of the wounded people, persons in the on the entrance to the Tzion, there is a minyan of Shachit that starts at 12 o'clock. You should know, it's called Minyan HaPtsu'im, the wounded minyan, wounded people's minyan. 12 o'clock Shachit in Uman, in the entrance to the Tzion. So even if you join that minyan, can you imagine what you achieved? You were with that group. you were praying. Of course, it's the best to pray with the biggest minion of them all. It's all ideally. But lemaise, even if you were praying, even if you weren't, the main thing is that you're going to come to Uman Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbeinu said, the world going to be amazed from the love that's going to be between you. Me'ahava she'tiye b'nechem. And this is the thing that we should do. Rabbeinu said, if you're going to be together, if you're going to love each other, you can pull me to bring me back to be with you. And Rav Shalom said that well, those words of Rabbeinu, it's Kabbalah from Anash, from all generations, from the old Breslevers, Hasidim, from all generations, that said that Rabbeinu is praying with us in the biggest minyan in Uman. In the place that there is the biggest minyan, Rabbeinu is praying in that place. Rabbeinu is there in Rosh Hashanah. This is also the reason why the Hasidim Breslev were not going to the grave of Rabbeinu during Rosh Hashanah, because he's praying with them in a minyan. There's no reason to go to the grave when Rabbeinu is praying with you Shmona Esrei. You don't need to go nowhere. Rabbeinu is in the cloister. Rabbeinu is standing in davening Shmona Esrei with you. This is Kabbalah from Hasidim Breslev, from the old generation. All of the things that you should do there is to try to bring another person to help him, to support him, to get closer to Hashem. By the fact, Rabbeinu is explaining that in Likutei Moharan, that you helped another Jew, all of Jews are like a chain. When you're pushing him, actually you pushed yourself. In that spot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Zohar HaKadosh, it's written that when a person is doing that he's holding the hand of a person that is not that kosher, and he's pulling him into Avodat Hashem, rising him, helping him to stand up back on his legs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking his picture and kissing it and saying, this is my son from the sons of Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu, this was his speciality, you can say? How you say that?
Specialty?
This was his specialty. That he was going from city to city, from a village to a village. And it's written in the Midrashim that he was running into the city and starting to scream and scream and scream and scream and scream until that people would come to him and ask him, what are you talking about? What do you want to say? What are you saying? And he would keep on acting in a crazy way and calling everyone, come and come and watch and see, until he took them, that group that would go with him, outside from the city and to a quiet place, to a forest, to a wood, to a field, and over there he was sitting with them and explaining them there is a creator, that he created the world, and you can talk to him in the language that you speak, just to talk to him. He's listening to every prayer, and he's keeping every suffer and every effort that you're putting in Avodat Hashem, that you're trying to get closer to him, he's keeping it with him, and he's looking at it, and he's counting it, and it's important to him. Every shtadlut that you have, every effort, every tear, every drop of sweat, every effort that you're putting in Avodat Hashem, it's written, Leit re'uta tava deit avid. There is no one good will that fall down, that is lost. If you had a good will, it's written in the Zohar HaKadosh that if a person had once in his life a will to do tshuva, he didn't. He haven't done tshuva, he haven't confessed, he even haven't regret. He just wanted one time in his life to do tshuva. So actually a person like that is supposed to go straight to hell. He haven't done tshuva, needs to go to hell. The Zohar HaKadosh is saying that because that he had a will to do tshuva, when he is falling down to hell, on the way, still in the air, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating a step, Madrega, on the air, that is floating in the air. And he is standing on that step. And over there, in that step, he is looking down and he sees hell under him. And he realizes what can happen to him if he will not gonna do tshuva. And then, he is the only person that can do tshuva in the world to come. Because there is no tshuva in the world to come. Tshuva is only in this world. Tshuva you can do only in this world. In the world to come, this is it. It's Judgment Day. Checking exactly what you've done, what you haven't done, and this is it. Receiving the punishments, receiving the reward, and this is it. Eternal life. Or not, chas v'shalom. But to that person that wanted to do tshuva and haven't, they're giving him a second chance. There is a step in heaven, in the air, in the space of hell before that he's falling down to hell, and he's got the opportunity to do tshuva, and for sure that he's doing tshuva. This is the power of will. This is how much you can achieve with just one time that you wanted to do tshuva. So us that we're full of that will, how much we are important to Hashem Yitbarach. And especially that you're dedicating so much money and effort, and you're going and you're traveling to Oman, to this weird place in Ukraine. And Rabbeinu said, I'm blessing myself. I wish to have the merit to see the brightness of your footsteps when you're coming to my place, to Oman. Every one of you are going to have a share in the huge salvation, Rabbeinu said and promised. And Rabbeinu said, everyone that's going to come to my tzion, to my grave, and going to say 10 chapters of the Tehillim that calls Tikkun HaKlali, one time in his life, and going to give a coin to tzedakah, a cent, 1 cent to tzedakah, 10 agorot to tzedakah. Rabbeinu promised, I'm going to do whatever I can, I'm going to stretch myself, throw myself, la'orech ve'larochav,
Far and wide.
Yes, now you got it. To take that person out from hell. And Rabbeinu said, even if I'm going to have to take him out from his peot, means from not the side curls, it means from the edges, from the ktsavot, like pe'at ha-sadeh, from the corners, from the small things that he's got, from those corners I'm going to take him out from hell. Rabbeinu made an oath, took an oath, accepted it on himself with two kosher witnesses. One of those witnesses, Rabbi Aaron Mibreslev, Rabbeinu said that we need to say thank you to the horses that brought him to Breslev. He was honoring him so much. Chassid Breslev were saying that when Rabbi Aaron Mibreslev would come to the grave of Rabbeinu after that Rabbeinu passed away, he was asking Rabbeinu questions, and everyone that were there could hear Rabbi Nachman answer from his tomb, from his grave, to Rabbi Aaron, only to Rabbi Aaron. Even Rabbi Nathan didn't have that. Rabbi Aaron could hear Rabbeinu, and Rabbeinu was talking to him, and everyone that were there could hear Rabbeinu speaks from the tomb. Before that Rabbeinu passed away, he saw that his daughter was afraid, because he said that he's going to pass away, that he's going to die. And his daughter were afraid, so he told her, what do you care about that? What's the difference? When I'm going to die, it's going to be just like that I'm behind that door of his room. And if you're going to come and going to call me, Father, Father, I will not going to answer you. This is what he told her. So Rabbeinu is just behind the door. The tzaddikim are alive. It's written in the Zohar HaKadosh, tzaddikim are alive. They're alive and exist, and you can talk to him. Even now we can talk to him. Even now, everyone that tried that, you know that. You can talk to the real righteous people, the one that really have the merit. Not the one that people crowned them and said that they are righteous. The ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chosen them and gave them the crown of wisdom, crown of Torah, crown of humility. Those one are alive. Those one are alive. On the other ones we don't want to talk about. You don't know how much damage they created in the world. How much damage. Even though that people are calling them righteous and people are saying on them that they are righteous and pure and amazing, people can say whatever. People can say whatever. All lies. All for a certain interest. The truth only Bo'olam is saying. And Bo'olam revealed himself to one nation. Only one nation accepted the Torah Kedosha. When 600,000 Jews were there and no one contradicted that. Occurrence. No one, in no religious, no one is saying that it never happened. Ma'amad Har Sinai. 600,000 men and women and kids were there. Millions of people, and no one contradicted that. Everyone agreed on that. But after the generation, everyone took it to his place. Now they have more explanations and more explanations. But the truth is a testimony for itself. You see, the Torah is totally straight. People are crooked. People are corrupt. You cannot count on people. David HaMelech is saying, don't count on generous people. You should check. You should find the truth by yourself. You should have a huge effort in your life to seek for the truth. And Rabbi Natan said, how am I going to know what the truth is? If the truth, you said that this is the truth, and maybe it's the truth, someone else said exactly the same, how am I going to know? So he answered, the one that is looking for the truth, he's going to find it. You're going to know. Like that Avram told me, the nose, he knows. The nose, he knows. If you're going to check, if you're going to smell, if you're going to observe, if you're going to look for the truth, in the end, it's going to reveal itself to you, and you're going to know. But if it's comfortable for you to find comfortable life, easy arrangements, and I don't know what, exciting chavayot experiences, so very easy. Rabbeinu said there is a lot, too many truths, too many emet. Emet. I want to be chiloni. Okay, it's good to be chiloni. I want to be, I don't know what. It's good, you can do. I want to be chassid, I want to be a litvak, I want to be this. My truth is to be yemani kitzoni, my truth is to be smolani kitzoni. One wants to make peace with the Ishmaeli, one wants to be in the rainbow, one wants to be... Everyone have his own truth. And it's true, you cannot say too many truths, Rabbeinu said. Too many. There is only one truth. And only a person that is dedicating his life to look for the real truth, the truth of the Creator, not my truth. How can I find my truth if I know that I'm a liar? If I'm checking myself and I know that I'm making too many discounts to myself every day, allowing myself things that are not allowed, so how can I say that I'm looking for my truth? It's going to be a lie. So we need to look for the truth of the Creator. And He sent kosher, real messengers to us through all of the generations that illuminates our eyes in that hard, hard path of investigation, of seeking after the truth in the darkness, between horrible decrees and in hard times and through horrible holocausts and difficulties that we had, the Jewish nation. So many difficulties we had. But still, the candle, the light of Torah, you cannot shut it down. You cannot destroy us. We're alive from inside. You can cover it. You can cover it with filth, with mud, with I don't know what. In the end, one day it's going to glow. One day you're going to find something inside. One day something's going to happen. It's going to be a crack. Oh, I'm a Jew. You woke up. There was a woman that came to Eretz Israel. She thought that she was Christian. She came to visit as a Christian religious woman in Eretz Israel. She came to the Kotel HaMa'aravi, to the Western Wall. She was standing and crying and crying and crying, and she couldn't stop herself. And she doesn't know what's happening with her at all. She doesn't know. All of her friends are tourists enjoying, and soon they're climbing to Har HaBayit. She cannot move. She was crying and crying and crying, and she felt like something is wrong with her, totally wrong. She went back home and started to investigate her mother and her grandmother, and realized that her grandmother was hiding that she was Jewish. Hiding because she was afraid, because of the Holocaust and more stories, she decided that she's never going to reveal that she's Jewish. It was an oath. She accepted it on himself, on herself, that she's Christian. This is it. She doesn't want her grandson to be prosecuted?
Persecuted.
And this is it, she decided. And that granddaughter, this is it, found the crack. She's Jewish. She's Yehudiya. And this is it. And this is the truth. And this is the truth of each and every one of us. Even though that you're not aware to yourself, there is someone that knows how to help you. And Rabbeinu said, the sickest person of them all should find, should look for the biggest doctor of them all. And you should put all of your effort to find that doctor, if you're suffering so much. And it's a spiritual, it has to be something mental, something to your nefesh. Rav Shalom said, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev, he is Rofe Nefashot, he's healing the souls, the spirits. You come into this place, you've been revived in a physical term, in a spiritual term. you find something inside, you find the will, a new will to live, a new reason. Maybe I'm going to be a better person. Maybe I'm going to have more faith. Maybe I'm going to talk to the Creator. Maybe I'm going to help others. Maybe I'm going to learn more Torah. Maybe I'm going to do something important with my life. Maybe I'm not going to drink another beer. Maybe I'm not going to use another time drugs and I don't know what. Maybe I'm not going to go back to the United States. Maybe I'm going to decide to watch over myself, to dedicate my life to kosher things, to holy things. Maybe this is what the Hashem is calling me from inside. And Hashem is very poor. You don't know how much Hashem is suffering. He's so sensitive. You can get crazy from the sensitivity of Hashem. He's so gentle. Hashem is crying every day, b'mistarim tifkeh nafshi. He's crying, he's hiding himself and he's crying daily. He's bringing down two huge tears to the big ocean, to the Yam HaGadol, every day. Sha'ogish agal naveu, he's roaring every night, screaming three times a night. He's not sleeping. La'ashem lo'anum ve'lo'ishan. Shomer Yisrael, always watching over Am Yisrael. Always. Always. He doesn't eat and he doesn't drink and he's just looking for solutions and he can bring the salvation in one moment. Why is he not doing that if he loves us so much? Because he's gonna kill us. Because the shame that we're gonna have in the Geula, in the salvation, is gonna be horrible. What we gonna do? How are we gonna deal with the disgrace that we were not honoring him at all? So he wants to make us all to be Ba'alei Tshuva before of the salvation. That we're going to be kosher, that our will is going to be toward to Him, that we're going to have only one will to serve Hashem, to satisfy Father in Heaven, to appreciate Him, to love Him, to thank Him, Kol HaNshamah Ta'Haleliyah, to praise Him, all of the soul going to praise Hashem. Hashem wants us to be in that position when He's going to reveal Himself. And then we're going to thank Him and we're going to be united with Him and it's all going to be one, perfect. If he's going to reveal himself to you when you like, I don't know what, Marlboro Lights or I don't know what, Ferrari, Porsche, imagination or horrible women and I don't know what. Lust for physical, stupid, low things. What are you chasing after? The Gemara is saying, sack that fool with Tzoah. I said Tzoah. And a mouthful with blood. This is the definition of the Gemara Kedosha. You're chasing after bodies. You're not talking about the spirit, about the neshama of that wife. You're not looking at it. Who are you lying to? Yourself? You're looking after the body. What's the body? Full with worms and sicknesses. And everyone are going to the bathroom, to the toilet. And everyone are human beings. And everyone's going to be rotten. And the body is nothing and the soul is eternal soul. And you, simu lev el hanshama, need to look for the soul. Have to look for the soul. Have to look for your neshama. And the neshama of your wife. When you're going to date, you need to look for your wife. You're not going to look for a nice shidduch. You're crazy if you're going to look for a fine, nice shidduch. There is one soul that it's your soul. That is stuck in a certain woman body. And you need to find your soul in that woman. And you need to look for your wife. Where are you, my wife? Where are you, my wife? This is what you should ask. Not who's going to be the right wife for me. You're crazy. But you're a sheik. You want to have a harem, harmon with hundreds of women. Every night you can choose another wife. Who's going to be the right wife for me tonight? This is what you want. To live like a goy, like a non-Jew, like a person who doesn't have no rules in his life. We're committed to the rules of the Torah Kedosha. The Torah Kedosha, with all of the Talmidei Chachamim that said all of the Psakim until this generation, to surrender ourselves, to live kosher lives, pure lives, life of love, of honor, of respect, of generosity, of sensitivity. Wonderful life like those. Who needs another kind of life? You can call it life. It's bitter than death. People want to commit suicide, to die, to kill themselves, to jump under trains and after trucks and don't want to live. and drowning themselves in drugs and in alcohol and in movies and in I don't know what, chasing after money, after women, naked women in the internet, just to forget, just to forget. V'yu lezikaron b'enecha, we need to remember. We're not allowed to forget. We have to remember that Hashem loves us. That Hashem is your Father. He is in heaven and in earth. He is one in heaven and one in earth. Hashem is one. His will is revealing in this world. This is what that He wants. Stop arguing with Him all of the time. From the moment that we were bitten by the snake, that we were eating from Etz Hadat, from that moment we have doubt, we have wisdoms. We think that we're something. No, I'm the one to blame. This is the biggest fear of them all. I'm bad, I'm stupid, I ruined it all, I'm screwed up, I don't know what. All of those craziness, it's kfira. You don't believe in Hashem, that Hashem wants you to be exactly like that you are. If Hashem would wanted you to be different, you would be different. If Hashem wanted you to be a millionaire, you would have been a millionaire. If He would wanted to give you a wife, you would be married already. But Hashem knows what's going to bring you to the real purpose. Faith, to believe in Him, to cancel your will to the one will of them all. Ratzon sheberatzonot, ra'ava de'ra'avin, the will of the Lord, the will of the Creator, to serve Him, to do whatever He wants. If you would succeed in business, we wouldn't see you in that class, I promise you. No chance that you would be in that class. Not even through YouTube. Reality. You wouldn't go and seek for tshuva, for solutions, how to fix your life. Because you would imagine to yourself that you're already fixed. Fixed up, it's called, right? Fixed up means that they tricked you. That you don't have nothing in your hands. People chasing all of their life, 70 years after lust and desires, coming to heaven empty-handed. What you brought, they're asking Him. What you brought? I was making money. Nice. A lot of women. A lot of beer. A lot of weed. A lot of nice Jamaican music. What you brought? What you brought in the world to come, it's all going to be a disgrace. You were separated from the Creator, from the one that was reviving you, from the one that was letting you breathe in His own world. I told Rav Shalom yesterday, Rav Shalom, I love you. So he told me an amazing answer. This is your luck that you love me. You're very lucky that you love me. I was so happy to hear that. And then he told me, you know, there are people that are breathing only because of my merit. And they don't love me. So you are very lucky that you love me. And I know that it's true. And I don't have no doubt about it. When I was sick, maybe 7 years ago, I was in hospital. How you say tipul nimratz? Intensive care, emergency. And I was losing blood. And I received 12 or 11 infusions of blood. And the doctor didn't know what I had at all. I was losing blood. Just would grow out blood. I don't want to tell you from where. But I was losing blood. And they decided after 3 horrible days to surgery me, to look for the wound inside. Didn't know where to look for. Couldn't find nothing. With all of the cameras and rentgen and I don't know what. All of those things. Couldn't find nothing. On the entrance to the to another tzilum shot, I don't know how you called it, X-ray something, I got a phone call from a rav. He's telling me, Dror Moshe, all night long I wasn't sleeping, I'm just praying on you. I went into bed with your name on my lips, I stood up from the bed with your name on my lips. Now you're going to enter to another test and they're going to find it and they're going to close it. Don't worry, I'm going now to the mikveh just for you. And this is it, I told him, Rav, I believe in you. And we hanged up the phone. I went in, went out, they told me we found it and we closed it. Just like he said. went out, they told me you need to go to a surgery to close it. They found an open wound inside of my intestines. On the entrance to the surgery, another phone call from a rab. I wasn't doing shayit bodedut in that day. I was during it bodedut. A rab called me. Just started it bodedut. He told me, Dror Moshe, now you're going to enter to a surgery. And they're going to fix it. And I'm with you. And you don't need to be worried. You're going to come out like new. I told him, a rab, I believe in you. I closed the phone. And I said another itkashrut, areni mekasher et atzmi, and through that itbodedut, I went sleep into that surgery. So I made also 1 hour itbodedut in that day. I was yotzei ide chova, I'm doing 1 hour itbodedut, conversation with Hashem, every day, Baruch Hashem, almost 10 years. Haven't lost a day, Baruch Hashem. I'm blessing you also. And I went out like nothing happened. Like nothing happened. This was the time that I finished drawing the first book that I drawn for Arav, Little Nachman, Nachman HaKatan. I gave the CD to the woman Frida that's in the Chadar HaFatza. She's selling all of the books of Arav, in charge of that. I gave her the CD, the files, to type it. And I went in the same day to the hospital. When I came out, I came to Arav. I told him, Arav, can you tell me please, what's the connection between my effort in Nachman HaKatan to the surgery? He told me, yes, that little Nachman saved you, that Nachman HaKatan etzil otcha, that he is the one that saved your life. One time in Uman came a person, told Arav Shalom, Arav, we are here because of him, and he's pointing on a little kid, 5 years old kid, 6 year old kid. Arav told him, yes, why? What that little kid done? He said, I bought to him the book Little Nachman, and when he heard Chilonim, two of them Chilonim, not keeping Shabbos, nothing. Because that I gave him that book, and he heard that Chassid the Breslovs are going to Uman Rosh Hashanah, he told me, Father, where are they going to? So I told him, I answered to him, they're going to Little Nachman. He said, they're going to Little Nachman? I want to go to Little Nachman also. And he dragged his father to Little Nachman, to Uman, to the tzion of Little Nachman in Uman, to the place that all of Chassid the Breslov gathered in Rosh Hashanah every year and year. And when you're coming to Uman, you need to smile to every people, to try to distribute from the wonderful books of Arav Shalom and from those brochures, wonderful, that we have now, to give it to English speakers, that they're coming to Uman and they don't know nothing, and they're going back empty-handed to the houses, even though that they were in Uman. They need support. They need guiding. They need someone to teach them how to live their lives. Not just a promise. All right, you have a promise. The promise that Rabbeinu said on 1 hour in Bodedut is bigger than the promise that he said on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, he said, I'm going to take you out from hell. On 1 hour in Bodedut every day, Rabbeinu said, you will not going to enter to hell. If you love your Rebbe, you're not going to let him enter to hell to take you out from there. You're going to stay with him in heaven. So we need to do Hafatzah. In the eve of Rosh Hashanah, there is Slichot. In the night before, there is Slichot. Something like 3 a.m. in the night before, there is Slichot. Because let's Chor Brit. Rabbi Natan said that it's very, totally important to be in those last slichot of the year. To do the slichot, after he davening nets, hopefully. And then, it's a fast, half of a day. Until Chatzot Yom, it's a fast. You can go to rest, you can go to arrange yourself, to be happy. To arrange food, whatever you need for the evening. Waking up, there is Tikkun HaKlal Ya'olami at noontime, saying, Tikkun HaKlali at 12 o'clock usually. They're saying Tikkun HaKlali HaOlami. Thousands, tens of thousands of people saying Tikkun HaKlali together. It's huge. It's something that cannot be. The Am Yisrael are so united and dedicated on what? On serving Hashem, doing tshuva before of Rosh Hashanah, before of Judgment Day. And then going to the grave of Rabbeinu, to the Tzion, and doing confession. Vidui. confessing in front of Rabbeinu, Rabbi Nachman, I'm sorry. I know that I wasn't right. I know that I sinned. There is a lot of ways how to confess. If you're a Talmid Chacham, you can check the parts of the Shulchan Aruch and to judge yourself by the Seifim of the Shulchan Aruch, your Avonot. If you're not that Talmid Chacham, you can check yourself by the schedule of the day. On all last year, on all of your life. Ribono Shel Olam, my mornings, it's very hard for me to wake up every morning. My Shachrit wasn't right, my Tilat Yadayim. Just review, just go over your schedule. Or another way, on the organs of the body, Borei Olam, my head, my thoughts, look what I was doing, what I was thinking, my eyes, I was looking, so many bad places, my ears, I was listening to gossip, to Lashon Hara, Rechilut, my nose, Borei Olam, you know I don't have Yirat Shamayim, I'm not holy, and more and more and more and more and more. And those are ways how to confess, to do Vidui, Tshuva, and this is how we're accepting the holy, holy day of Rosh Hashanah, that Rabbeinu said, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem knows that I received it from Him as a free gift, and it's not inherited from my forefathers, Na'avodai, from my fathers. It's something that He achieved. And we're confessing, doing tshuva in that day. And then, we're going to the biggest minyan that we can. The Sfaradim can go to the Sfaradi clothes, the Ashkenazim can go to the Ashkenazi clothes. Someone feel more comfortable in another place. There is a certain importance to pray in the biggest minyan of them all, and especially in that Ma'ariv of accepting Rosh Hashanah. And it's important, but still it's hard, and we know that it's hard. So this is why there is a discount. If you're joining a big, huge minyan, it's great. No matter where. You can pray in the Tziyun, you can pray in the Moharosh, you can pray in the Ashkenazi Kloish, in the Sfaradi Kloish, in the biggest Minyanim of them all, to join the Minyanim Agdolim, the large Minyanim. And then Rabbeinu said, what the people, Hasidim, gonna achieve in Hoshana Rabbah, that it's the end of all of the Tikkunim. First you have Rosh Hashanah, after it 10 days of Tshuva, after it you have Yom Kippur, after it you have Sukkot, that is purifying the person, and then you have Hoshana Rabbah, that it's the tikkun of all of tikkunim, the end of Hoshana Rabbah. He said, I wish that the Hasidim gonna achieve in Hoshana Rabbah what that we achieved in Barechu. In Barechu of Ma'ariv. He said, when you're saying Barechu of Ma'ariv in Uman Rosh Hashanah, already you are Zaka'im. All of the people that came are Zaka'im, totally pure. In Barechu, before of Ma'ariv, just accepted the holiday. Just the fact that you joined Rabbeinu, that you joined the wonderful public of Am Israel, that came together to love each other together, and to pray with all of powers, with all of intentions. And if you're pushing a Jew, if you need to push a Jew to achieve something, don't do that. Rabbeinu gonna cover for you. The public gonna cover for you. If you're praying in a minyan, that the minyan are praying, and you're not, you are Yotzei Yedei Chovah. Don't worry, don't hurt a Jew. Don't push a Jew, don't let a Jew feel not comfortable. Give him your place, give him your seat, give him everything that you can, according to your abilities. Not to be crazy and wild, and not to eat, and not to drink, and to lose everything, and to be sad and frustrated with no tent. No pillow to put your head. Not talking in a crazy way. In a healthy way. To do as much as you can. And stay sane. Please come back sane from Uman. Please. I'm begging. Please come back sane. Please come back, then sane. If you're going to come back crazy, we're going to help you to go back to track. But so first come back. And to all of your sweet ones that plan to go back to Louisiana after Uman, or to New York, or to New Hampshire, or I don't know where you're going to.
Baltimore,
they're all coming here. Nothing to do in Baltimore anymore. Finita la commedia. All are coming here. Don't imagine to yourself that Hashem wants you to be in those foreign lands. If you think that there is something that Hashem wants you to do, so you have a mission. You can go, you can do what that Hashem wants you to do, to meet your family members, to check something, to do something, to get married, to find parnasa, like that the halacha is allowing, to learn Torah. But only if it's temporary. The halacha permits to go abroad only if it's temporary. To find parnasa, to bring it to Eretz Israel. To find a wife, to bring her back to Eretz Israel. To go to learn Torah, to bring the wisdom back to Eretz Israel. Everything, it's only temporary. Hashem loves you all. Harav Shalom loves you all. Rabbeinu loves you all. I love you all. Succeed big time. See you soon, Bezat Hashem. We're going to be together in Iran and back in Eretz Israel. Thank you very much.